Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's that transformation shit, huh? Finally a nigga on some divine shit.
This the continuation of Lauren Hill miseducation, but this dissertation will explain the transformation that's currently taking place all over the world nation. Earthquake hit the Haitian, Japan got radiation. Remind me of Revelation, the weather patterns changing. Icebergs were sinking, heavy floods when it's raining. Iraq, Iranian, lower Mediterranean, all over the planet. People constantly changing, ready for revolution. They know what government's doing, except for Americans. We the fattest and most stupid. Most depend on a system that don't give a fuck about them. Fuck a Bush, fuck a Clinton, fuck a Hillary. Ride em. Can't wait for days, we'll be like, fuck it, we ride. But this revolution, the evolution that's nonviolent. Change your reality when you change your mentality. What you thinking inwardly, you projecting it outwardly. Since we lack the knowledge, we lack the power, that's why we powerly. And when your heart beats, too much fear is inside it. Too busy worried about these secret societies and the plans being plotted by the global elite. But I know that they sweet, and I know they get scared. Every time they hear this shit, I spit over a beat. Cause 85% of the population ain't no RC. We all awakening, there's gonna be more people like me that don't give a fuck about authority. Scared to die hardly, more concerned about the God inside my mind, that's the part of me. I'm like a love soldier in God's army, and I feel bad for anybody who try harm me. I'm spewing the legacy of Elijah Muhammad and Marcus Garvey. But I'ma be a legend like Michael Jackson and Bob Marley. And I don't care if another man kill me and I die early. As long as I song clean up my head, cause I mind dirty. And it's that time for it. Time is just a cycle. You can rewind it and fast forward. Life is what you make it. You only get what you ask for. You niggas all these shit, cause you niggas is assholes. And it's ridiculous to a mass flow. They say this shit sounds supernatural. I'm way different than everyone if you wag holes. And it's a shame they all sound the same bunch of rap clones. The game is full of lames, no backbones. And I ain't just watching it. I'm taking back that throne. I'm kicking down these niggas' doors like mad tones. And after every track, they be like, you hear that song? Damn, why you have to go and do that song? Went in the booth, feel like he poop showed his ass off. I just rap from the heart, so I don't know why they mad for. They tell you I'm a hater, they facts wrong. And that's the problem that need to be solved with chalk and a blackboard. They ask me what I rap for. My rap is for the black balls. I'd rather not be godly, but be a crack lord. For the pretty little bad joint. Think you only get a man if I ask on. For the man who work his ass off. To barely pay the bills, and his life is like a sad song. Since he catch me making wax songs. I don't even rap no more. My shit more like a black horn. And we've been eating this for mad long. So we can develop a culture with good morals that we can pass on. I know y'all listening like daggone. I'm full Niagara Falls with fireballs like a dragon. I'm David slaying Goliath, Zion triumphant with Babylon. Or Adam after he ate the apple and God told him that was wrong. I spit that black power shit like I'm Farrakhan. But I'm far from a race cause I got love for everyone. I just know the original man was full of melanin. That absorbed ultraviolet radiation from the sun. Cause during creation I know it had to be hella strong. And you wouldn't be able to survive if you was an Albion. But presently we in a transformation. Beginning of a new cycle and the end of the ages. I'm talking evolution of the creative creation. Right now the population is currently brainless. I'm waiting for that cosmic energy to come and just change shit. And our junk DNA begins to awaken. Until that time comes, I'ma keep making statements. Till my boys come back to grab me up in their spaceship. I hang with the aliens, the same like an ancient. A grand architect, but I'm far from amazing. It's like I'm a part of the Galactical Confederation. The charge spreading the light all over the nation. And our ancestors on different galaxies are waiting. Hoping the suffering they went through didn't go for nothing. So I'ma keep giving you motivation. That kill your ego and help your soul take over thinking. Cause we've been living a life full of problems with no equation. And all our spiritual intuition seem to be slowly fading. It's like a role reversal, melanated behavior like cavemen. And the cavemen hold the prominent positions all over the planet. Like the Geico commercial perfectly explained it. And our environment helps shape our behavior. It's like if you ain't got shit, then you gon' take it. We ain't never gon' have shit. It's money when they make it. Our best bet is to get in touch with Mother Nature. And tune with the earth, consciously connected with the creator.
Huh. Holy are you. Holy are you. There is no God you. But you. There is no God but you.
I need to talk to y'all for a minute.
Praise be the Lord.
Get serious for a minute.
Holy are you. Holy are you.
Yeah.
believe, and it is why they call me the God MC, the lyricist. Trace this staff to the roots, I'm Genesis. The world wonder, I'm still standing like paperless. Design so vivid, every brick it got a story to tell. My rhyme flow different like a hieroglyphic. Mind prolific, infinite, like mathematics. The first language, now add that and add graphic. Go ahead, info let the block know it's the gospel. Life's new manual, so watch close. The new Michelangelo or Pablo Picasso. Prepare to show you the cosmos and Rob flow. Even my lyrical metaphysical, with this and through it, help you get to your spiritual pinnacle. You find your mind too far fetched for it to fathom. I bring the darkness to the light, split the atom. It's like watching a Big Bang Theory emerge. I take titles, burn them to a billion birds. They want a clear view from the farthest in the darkest corner to the universe, to a corner near you. A barrel and ghetto a barrel, stay flamed up, force not to play. A modern day King Tut, rap tight, rap like I've been preserved in time. Spit the holy water to touch it, to turn it to wine. This is gold. Probably descendants of the Holy Grail. Another part of history they won't reveal. Time to only tell. You waited for judgment. It came in the form of a dove in the game. The creator's on position. It's blood in my vein. The chemical is identical. We one of the same. With seven letters in all three of my government names. Walk on water. Nah, neither to Jesus. It's a parable to make followers and readers believe it. From Egypt to Budapest. Rock him as the truest left. Understand the scriptures like the minister Lewis F. I told you who God is. You ignore me like most of the prophets. Jesus, Solomon, Abraham, Moses, and Muhammad. I told the scholars who fulfill the broken promise. I speak the truth to predict the future like those Thomas. Like revelations, I'm hoping my quotes reveal the seven spirits of God when I open the seal. Interpret the Holy Quran. These flows of God translated to law and decode the Bible. Warn the elders in the mosque, made songs and the laws. The seven churches. Synagogue, it's the Renaissance, in the bronze, like the Messiah, rocking my laws, about to reveal a bigger secret in time, man of God.
You're back once again with Dr. Aleem Bay Show. And hopefully y'all can hear me clear out there. And tonight's discussion is going to be Major World Religions, Metaphysically Decoded Part 2. Last week we went over the information and we broadcast to you information that I'm sure you never heard before because it's not out anywhere except in my book, Out of the Womb, Into the Mind. And we're going to get into more information. Like, for example, when you go to the Holy Bible, New Testament, Galatians, the 4th chapter, the 21st verse through the 26th verse, it breaks down how the Bible is allegorical, all right? And it specifically goes into Abraham. It says, matter of fact, starts the 21st verse, it says, tell me, ye that desire to be under the Lord, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons. The one by a bondmaid, and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise. And it states in the 24 verse, which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. Or Igar. So, it says, to which these things are an allegory. So, the story of Abraham, the story of him having the two wives, Sarah and Hagar, and them having the sons, Isaac and Ishmael. And Ishmael was born of Hagar and Abraham, according to the story, and Isaac was born of Sarah and Abraham. Now, we know that Abraham's name was Abram, and Sarah's name was Sarai. Now, that happened to be the same deities in the Sanskrit teachings of Brahma and Saraswati. So you have the same traditions in the Hindu Kushite tradition, because the Kushites are the originators of these stories. And they came from out of Ethiopia, as we call it, or Somalia, now as it is named. And, of course, we know that the Egyptians was a colony of the Ethiopians, Kushites, Nubians, or Nubians, as we say, Nubians. And they came up from out of the interior of what is called the moon, all right, what is called the Oladori Gorge, Lake Victoria region of Uganda and Tanzania, near Kenya, going up into Ethiopia. And that's where they said that the oldest man has been found. That is the originator. That is the original place of the oldest fossils that have been yet found. One of the oldest fossils is Dagnesh, in which that is called Lucy, in which that was found by Louis B. Leakey and Richard Leakey. In the 1950s, they leaked it out, in which that showed that Africans were the oldest species upon planet Earth. They are the original inhabitants of the planet. Now, that's the oldest fossil. We got items that's much older than that. Of course, you heard Oswald Kwesi speak about Dagnesh if you ever watched any of his videos. However, if you get Forbidden Archaeology by Michael Creedmoor and Richard Thompson, they go into the fact of humanoids, human beings being on this planet more than 2.8 billion years ago. All right? So we know that man has been on this planet longer than thousands of years. According to your Bible, it says that Adam was made on the sixth day, and a day unto the Lord is 1,000 years. So therefore, they equated that Adam was made 6,000 years ago. So they gave that hypothesis, that what that was equal to. However, that is a metaphysical code in which that we have to decode now, because the sixth day that Adam was made on is actually talking about the sixth element on the periodical chart, which is carbon. Adam was is actually an atom, A-T-O-M, instead of A-D-A-M, which that symbolizes blood, because that's what Adamah means within Hebrew. It means blood, right? And that blood is talking about the origin of life. That's what it's talking about, life itself, and the component of life is carbon. And carbon is the sixth element on the periodical chart. So Adam is made on the sixth day. Carbon is the sixth element. And it happens to have six protons, six electrons, six neutrons. So here in the book of Revelation, it speaks about the number of man. And the person who has this wisdom will be able to decode this story or information concerning the beast, which number is 666. That is the code for man. Man was made on the sixth day. Matter of fact, Muslims, Christians and Jews, monotheistic belief system to this day, still think that man was created on the sixth day, in which that would be symbolically Friday. All right, Saturday being the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, the day of rest. Now, when we get more into that, you know that Abraham is the said father. All right, he's the said father of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. All right? Abraham is supposed to come from his lineage, Moses, as the father of the five books in the Old Testament called the Pentateuch, as well as David, Solomon, and from David, 33 generations up, would be Jesus, all right? In which that Christianity was formed on. So Judaism and Christianity was formed through that bloodline. And then, of course, that was supposedly from the seed of Judah, which is who was through Isaac, in which that was through Abraham. All right? So you have Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, who actually became Israel, his 12 sons. Of course, everyone came through that line of Abraham and Sarah. Now, the firstborn, however, of Abraham was Ishmael. And so, hence, Muhammad and the Arabs claim lineage through that. Now, all of this is allegorical, and they have us fighting for hundreds and thousands of years based on these allegories in which that they put together instead of explaining it. And so these wars in which that we have is based off of that, as well as also resources, oil, gold, minerals, etc. Now, Abraham did not physically exist because it's an allegory. We're going to get into the definition in a second. But let's go to the Holy Quran, Surah 3, Ayat 6. And it says, he, it is who, has revealed the book to thee. Some of his verses are decisive, but they are the basic of the book. And others are allegorical. Those in whose heart is perversity follows the part of it which is allegory, seeking to mislead and seeking to give it their own interpretation. This is the problem going on now. We got Negroes, you know, Pastor Red, Reverend Polk Chop, and the rest of them, bougie behind Negroes, as well as ignorant, you know, people and persons that are trying to give the scriptures their own interpretation when portions of it is allegorical, and they don't tell us what portions are allegorical. And so it says, and others are allegorical. Then those in whose heart is perversity follows the parts which are allegorical. So they follow the allegorical parts, which is supposed to be metaphysically decoded, and they seek to mislead. And most of you have gone through that, of being misled. And seeking, because they seek to give it their own interpretation. And it says, no one knows this interpretation except Allah and those firmly rooted in knowledge. So you can know the allegorical parts, but you must have knowledge. And so this is what we're going to bring to you tonight. So they say, we believe in it. It is all from our Lord, and none do mine except men of understanding. All right? So that is the key. And then you go to Merriam-Webster Dictionary. And look up the word allegory, and it means the expression by means of symbolic, fictional characters, figures, and actions of truths or generalization about human existence, also as incident as in a story or painting or such expression, a symbolic representation. That is the meaning of the word allegory. Now, the Holy Quran states that portions of it is allegory, the Bible states that is allegory, specifically Abraham. And so if Abraham is the progenitor of the monotheistic belief system of Christianity, Islam, Judaism, then they are basing their whole existence on fictional characters and trying to explain it to you as historical. And they have anthropomorphized the science of the soul into human form and characteristics. That's what this symbolizes. Because Brahma was in a cave. Jesus was born in a cave, according to the Apocrypha, which is referred to within the Bible as a manger. That is talking about the third ventricle of the brain, in which that the pineal gland overlooks the third ventricle of the brain, and inside of the pineal gland, according to Descartes, who's a French philosopher, he states that the soul was embedded inside of the pineal gland. And according to all reports, we all have come to that realization based on the teachings of great teachers, Dr. Richie King, Brother Bobby Hemmett, myself, and others who have brought you all that information, specifically about the science of the soul embedded inside of the pineal gland, and not just that, but also how to activate it. Now, this is what all this symbolizes. So when we go into the symbolic, fictional characters or figures, that's what it says in the definition, allegory. So, therefore, if Abraham, the father of, supposed father of Judaism, Christianity, Islam, did not actually exist in human form, and neither did his sons Isaac, and Ishmael, you know, for they were symbolic fictional figures, then the so-called monotheistic belief system of Judaism, which is the Holy Quran, the Holy Torah, Christianity, the Holy Bible, and Islam, the Holy Quran, are portionally allegorical in teaching and not just literal. So as we are led to believe by so-called religious heads, so therefore, all three so-called monotheistic belief systems or religions are derived from the ancient African spiritual systems. Ethiopia, which of course is Kush, also called Abyssinia, all of that is where this information originated from, on up into Egypt. So when you break down, like for example, the word Holy Torah, the word Torah is a corruption of the word Daura. Dao, T-U-A, which is an ancient Egyptian word, is the same word that they use within the Orient, is Dao, T-H-T-A-O, which means the way, all right? So the Torah is a corruption of the word Dao-Ra, which means to worship or adoration of Ra. And that is talking about you gathering the electromagnetic forces, because 300,000 tons of stardust energy fall to the planet Earth daily, and you as a melanated being are supposed to absorb your share of this energy as it comes down. Quantum physicists, this is no coincidence that quantum physicists have found out and studied the human anatomy and states that the body is composed of stardust particles. Well, if 300,000 tons of stardust energy or particles fall to the planet Earth daily and your body is composed of that, then obviously by you gathering more of it, it enhances your health, it creates longevity, and it even promotes immortality. So these are the key. And so this is what Daura, which the word Torah actually means. And it breaks down to that. When you read about Noah's 40 days and 40 nights, what that actually is talking about, that if you study Qigong and you learn how to bring energy down into your Dan Tien, and there's three Dan Tien. You have your lower Dan Tien, which is your navel chakra, your heart chakra, which is your mid Dan Tien, which is called, Dantian translates to English word heavens. All right, so you have your lower heaven, your mid heaven, and your upper Dantian, which is referred to in the Bible as the upper room, is your third eye area. Now, you can collect energy and store the energy into those particular areas of the body, and it will promote longevity, health, as well as also immortality. So 40 days and 40 nights symbolizes that once you learn how to practice these techniques for those 40 days and 40 nights and flood. All right. Remember, Noah and the flood, the word Noah comes from the word nos, which is a Greek word, which means the mind. So you have to learn how to flood the mind with this prana energy, the flood. All right. This is why it was symbolic to the fact of the two animals, taking two animals or seven animals onto the ship. The ship, the ark, symbolizes the navel chakra. All right. And also the ark and up their head, which is the top. The boat of Ra, the top of the head. So by you bringing energy into the third eye, bringing energy into the genitalia area, or better yet, I should say, the reproductive chakra, which is your second chakra, which is your navel chakra, what happens is that you expand your life force as well as also your mind, your intelligence, in other words, your states of consciousness. So the story of Noah is about learning how to do that. All right, to create giants, Nephilims, which means mental giants. This is how you produce and become a mental giant, is what this is talking about. All right, once again, it's not just allegory. You know, you think about giants walk the earth. Yes, giants walk the earth. We even grew to as high as 36 feet tall at one time, before the times of the dinosaurs. And then we shrunk to the size of the Twa people, which is only about 4 feet tall or so. And some are propelling towards 7 feet and taller, you know, as we're still finding giants today, and which have measured up to 36 to 25 to 12 feet to 8 feet tall. All right? So these are the giants of the land, but these was us. This was us. All right? We're blessed people on the planet Earth. We was taller. More people on the planet Earth, we got smaller based on the annihilation of the dinosaurs, which supposedly came through a bombardment of meteorites that cut down on the oxygen level content in the air, in which that went from 35% oxygen content to less than 21% oxygen content. So because we didn't have enough oxygen, well, the oxygen wasn't as plentiful as it was before we shrunk inside. This is science. I'm not coming with no bullshit, no fucking damn stories, no goddamn mythologies. We're going to decode all of this. But I'm tired of the bullshit. I'm tired of the ignorance that our people are displaying, caught up into white Jesus and all this other bullshit that is going on. So we're not going to be dealing with none of that. You know, we're going to know what's really going on. So the word Torah also phonetically sounds like the word Tarak, all right? And as, in other words, as the tarot cards, and the word Tarak, all right, means the Lord of the four directions. And that symbolizes air, fire, water, and earth. And when all four of them elements are combined, they form ether, the one. All right, so the four books of Moses plus the one symbolizes ether, air, fire, water, earth, ether. So each book symbolizes one of those aspects of the first five books of Moses, which is the Terach, which is Terah. All right, so you also know that's what that symbolizes. As a matter of fact, the word Terach is also derived from the ancient Semitic word, the great mother goddess, all right, of she was of childbirth and a protector of women and children. All right, her name was Terorat. Terorat. All right, it's Tarat, which means the great one. And she was the lady of magical protection who guided the souls into the afterlife. All right, that's what that symbolized. So in ancient Kemet, Egypt, or Temeria, or Tamarite, it was based on astrology. As a matter of fact, when you go and look at the go to the Temple of Dendera, you will find, which is the Temple of Het-Heru, you would go to the center, and you would see the Dendera, which is the zodiac above. Well, the central, the so-called North Pole actually used to be Thuban, which was part of the Draco constellation, in which that symbolized Tararat, all right? In which that depicted on the ceiling of the constellation in the tomb of Het-Heru, which is the temple of, also called the Temple of Dendera. So she was shown to represent the never-sitting circumpolar star of Ursa Minor and the Draco North Pole star Thuban, which is the word Thebes, or Theban, later on, in the Draco constellation. All right, so the seven stars lined up down her back as the stars of the Little Dipper. So those seven stars symbolizes the seven stars down your spinal column, symbolic to the Kundalini energy and the chakra system. All right, and this is also found of the Tararat, Sebek, which is Thuban Draco, and it's found at the Temple of Seti I also. All right, so when you get into the word Holy Bible, let's break that down. The word holy is derived from the Greek word helios, or heroes, or word heroes, or hero, which is the word hero. So, you know, we know who hero was. Hero is Horus. All right, and then the Latin word halo, or haru, or haru. Right now, you got to remember that the R's and the L's are interchangeable. Whenever you look at the word helios and halo, interchange the R's and the L's. And you put the R instead of the L's, and you have the word, instead of halo, you have the word haru. And instead of helios, you have the word harios, which is the word harp. So this is what the word holy actually is derived from. So the word holy means sun or light, which is in reference to Heru, which is a form of Ra or Saw, his father. For he and his father are one. Jesus and his father are one. When I see you, I see the father. When you see me, you see the father. Father and son are one. That's what that is symbolic to. All right? That's why it's the S-U-N. And, of course, those who are made in the image and after the likeness of God is S-O-N. Right? And we're not talking about gender. We're talking about the mind, because when you break down the word holy, light, and sun, it also is equivalent to the word mind. All right? Then you have the word Bible, which is derived from the Latin word Biblos, all right, which is from papyrus. All right? In the early Greek, the word papyrus stemming from the Sumerian or the ancient Metanetsa word, which is papyrus, which is the English transliteration of the word paper. The word papyrus is just is simply the word paper with an A added on. So hence, the Holy Bible is the word Ra papyrus, or Ra papyrus, which is the book of the rising like Ra. That's what it means, the book of rising like Ra. And the overthrowing of Apep, which is actually what's called the book of coming forth by day and night, or the Parham Herut text. That's what they're all equivalent and what that comes out to. So when you're talking about the Holy Bible, simply say, oh yeah, Ra papyrus or Ra papyrus. Yeah, the sun book. That's what that means. When you get to the Holy Quran, well, the word Ku is the ancient Sumerian word for illumination, intelligence, wisdom, aspects of the spirit. The ancestral spirits are called the Aku, or the intelligence, or the shining illuminated ones. All right? The word that represents divine wisdom is Tahuti, or Jehuti, you know, and it's a derivative, basically from Ku, which is intelligent wisdom, and is the bird connection of the god of wisdom, Tahuti. So you have the word Ku-Ra, which is the wisdom of Ra. This is the reason Muslims refer to the Quran, Ku-Ra, as the book of wisdom. Tahuti is the record keeper. This is why Muslims say Assalamu alaikum to the, or rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu to the right, and then turn to the left and say Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. You know, because they're speaking to those, to that good angel on the right and that bad demon or devil on the left. It's the same thing with the cartoon back in the days when you see someone is having mischievous thought and they trying to not do bad things, and you see the angel pop up on the right side and then the devil pop up on the left side, and then that battle between lower self and higher self commits. That's what that is all symbolic to. So this is the reason why the Muslims refer to the Quran as the book of wisdom. And Tahuti is the record keeper, hence the father of time, in which he becomes later on the Roman deity Kronos, which means timekeeper. The Vatican wanted to make a new religion, so what they did was to take over Jerusalem and to challenge the so-called Jewish faction. And thus the Roman deity Kronos became the name of the holy book, the Holy Quran, or the Sun Chronicles. Or originally is mentioned as above is Ku-Ra, the wisdom of Ra. And was a collection of the Ra paper Ra, or the books of the rising like Ra. In other words, the Holy Quran is 73% of the Bible, like we said last week. The other 27% comes from the Zoroastrian text. It's called the Ardivan Veda, Avesta. As well as the Lost Books of the Bible, Forgotten Books of Eden, and the Apocrypha. All right? As a matter of fact, if we go to the Lost Found Muslim Lessons, number 2, which is 1 through 40, which is the final term examination assessment of Mr. Elijah Muhammad, it says, Master Muhammad asked the question, who made the Holy Quran or Bible, and how long ago? Will you tell us why does Islam renew our history every 25,000 years? Then Elijah Muhammad came back and answered. He says the Holy Quran or Bible is made by the original people, who is Allah, the supreme being or black man of Asia. The Quran will expire in the year 25,000. The Nation of Islam is all wise and does everything right and exact. The planet Earth, which is the home of Islam, and is approximately 25,000 miles in circumference. So the wise man of the East, black man, made history or Quran to equal his home circumference, a year to each or every mile. And thus, every time his history lasts 25,000 years, he renews it for another 25,000 years. All right, now you got to understand what that means. Real simple. The planet Earth goes around the star constellation Sirius A, Sirius B, every 25,000 years. Or 25,928 years to be right and exact. As well as also at the same time as the Earth and this solar system is going around Sirius A and Sirius B, the constellation, also or what is called Zibi Tolo, Tolo Tolo, and Imiya, you know, Sirius A, Sirius B, Sirius C, and some say even Sirius D. As they go around each other, they also go through the 12 zodiac signs at the same time, which would be equivalent to 25,000 years also, or 25,928 years. So what is going on is that we are now approaching, supposedly, allegedly, this year, a new 25,000-year renewal of history. And we are leaving on the last past years of the 25,000-year of history, along with the last period of the Piscean Age, which was 2,160 years in length, all right? And we're moving into a new age, all right, which is 2,160 years of what is known as Aquarius. So we're moving from the 12th house into the 11th house, right? And so it symbolizes that 25,000-year renewal of history coming up, and we are the bearers of this new information. This is why it's so much about locking your DNA down with genetic modified organisms or what's called GMOs or genetically altered food or frankenfoods, chemtrails to block the with the main component aluminum to block out the rays of the sun to keep your melanin from mutating. And I'm back with the 10 strands of DNA, in which that in the Old Testament it says that God cast out of his sight. If you go to the book of Kings, first and second book of Kings, it says that God cast out of his sight the 10 tribes of Israel and only left two, which was Judah and Dan. Well, by the time you get to the New Testament, you know, in the book of Revelation, well, all 12 strands are back, or 12 tribes are back. So those 12 wives, the 12 tribes, symbolizes that renewal of history coming back. So this is why there's such so much of an awareness, a consciousness leap now, a quantum leap, a metaphysical leap, all right, into this information, because we are going into a new age and our consciousness is coagulating to that new information, is adapting to that new information in which that is here. And so they are trying their best to keep us from graduating from the third dimension into the fifth dimension, because right now, we're going through what's called the dark rift, and we're going to come out on the other side of the photon belt, in which that symbolizes the light, photon ra. All right, so hence the sun now is casting off more corona mass ejections, or CMEs, which is called solar flare activity. And this is why here in the south we haven't had a winter. We had one cool day or cold day so far. Right now, today, it was over 70-some-odd degrees, you know. And feeling warm, like it's already springtime, you know, and it's been like that now for the whole winter here in North Carolina, specifically, you know. And so every time that these corona mass ejections bombard the planet Earth, the Earth heats up. That's what they refer to as the greenhouse effect or what they refer to also as not just the greenhouse effect, global warming, as they also refer to it as. So this is what is going on, you know. So we have to be conscious of these types of things. All right, so let's get back into the fictitional characters of the Bible and what they actually stand for and what they actually mean. All right, when we look at the word Elohim, all right, we know that it stands for the word Elo. Well, the letters R and L, once again, is interchangeable. So Elah, which is Allah, which is Allah, which is Allahumma, which is Hallelujah, you know, all of that stems from El. And El is the word Ra. Remember, the L's and the R's are interchangeable. So ER, which is EL, becomes RE, all right? And so El and Ra actually are one and the same. So Ra, as we know, symbolizes your soul, the old one, the ancient one. That's the return of the ancient one, is the enlightenment of your soul. All right? Right now, your soul expands the whole 76 quintillion miles diameter of the universe. Your soul is the universe in miniature form, incarcerated or in the physical body. That's what this symbolizes. So upon awakening, you awaken to the universal knowledge of oneself and of all things in existence. All right? Now, when you look at the word Yahweh, which is Yahuwah or Yahawah, which is, now, Yahweh is one of the major titles of Tahuti, which is the God, symbolizes the God of wisdom. His name was Ayah, a Yah, which becomes the word Jah, which is short for Jehovah. Right? So he was called Ayahuhi. Ayahuhi. All right? And Hui turned backwards, or I-H-U-H, or Yahivai, which are the four sacred letters of the Tetragrammaton of the name of God. So in this form, he was symbolized as the crescent moon, which is that's what the word Aha means, the crescent moon. So that was the symbol. So Tahuti, often seen as the image of the ibis bird or the crane-headed bird, and ibis was called Habu or Habiu or Habui, all right? And in the ancient Tamanian word, Habui is pronounced Habuwa, all right? So Hawa. Hawa was corrupted into Hawa, all right? So the name Yahuwah or Yahawah is actually is what that name stems from. Now, if you take your two fingers and place them in your ears and listen to your heartbeat, you actually will hear that same sound. Yahuwah, 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 Yahuwah. That is the heartbeat. And it's no coincidence that the Tetragrammaton has four letters, Yahivahi, that symbolizes the four chambers of the heart also, as well as the four elements. All right, so this is what this symbolizes. So when, you know, we're talking about God, so this is why when you read 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, the 16th verse, do you not know that your body is the temple of God? You know, and of course, Luke 17:21, for neither look here nor there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. We're telling you exactly where this kingdom is, where it dwells at, the heart and the mind. All right? So, when you get into the word Hebrew, the important thing to remember is that the title of Tahuti was corrupted from Aprihu. And Haprihu, or Uprihu, you know, became, you know, the word Ibrahu. All right, and Hebrew became the word Hebrew. Now, when you look at the word Hebrew, is Tahuti and Hiru is tied together. All right, matter of fact, they're one and the same. And Hiru means priest. Hiru means light. So when Heb Hiru becomes the word Hebrew also, so it means a priest of light. And that happened to be also another title of Tahuti. All right? So, of course, there's no person named Eber for whom the Hebrews are descended. Eber is a fictional character because there's a corruption of the word Aprihu, you know, where the word Hebrew comes from. But I'm telling you what the word Hebrew means within the ancient Kemetic or Metanetra. It's talking about Hapiru, which is the priest of light. So you or anyone who reaches a level of enlightenment becomes a priest of light, because that is your soul awakening. See, when Aset, which is the Kundalini energy, raises up the spine and it awakens Asar, who is asleep in the pineal gland, the soul is half asleep, just like the Kundalini is half asleep at the base. The Kundalini symbolizes Aset, which is also Sekhmet, which is also Shekinah. And when it awakens, it raises up the spine, the digit, the backbone of Osiris, the spinal column, the 33 vertebrae, since Jesus died on the cross, the 33. And when it comes up, it awakens within the brain at the pineal gland area, the soul. So our soul, who was half asleep, which is the soul asleep, now becomes awakened. So hence, our soul transforms into his rule, the awakened one. All right? This is what is going on. So hence, Jesus ascended to his Father, who art in heaven, to sit on the right side, or the right-hand side of his Father, who art in heaven. That's what this all symbolizes. That's from the right. That's from the activation of the right hemisphere of the brain through the raising up of Kundalini energy to the middle brain section. So hence, giving you the 90% of usage of the brain in which that you did not have before. Of course, the average person only used about 10% of their brain. Most use less than that now with the dumbing down of America. Now, when you get the word Jew, the title Jew is really a misnomer, right? Because Judah is actually a corruption of the title Jehudi, right? So it is this corruption that was used to create the title Judah, all right? And Jesus being the, from the tribe of Judah. So the word Jew is actually the word Jehudi. That's where it comes from. If you spell the D-J-E-W-H-U-T-I or T-Y, the word Jew is embedded inside of it. All right, so this is where the words come from. It's the origin of all of this. All right, something in which that very few speak about. You know, when you get into Moses, he told you that aspect of Moses symbolized the Sargon the first, as was also Akhenaten, who was Amenhotep the fourth. But even further back within the history of the Assyrian, as well as also the Egyptian mythology, the word Moses or Moshi, some say it's derived from Mesh, all right? And Moses is a fictional character once again. However, the life of this fictional character was patterned after the knowledge of the god Tahuti once again, all right? Now, the word Moshi, when you look up the story of Sargon the First, and it's talking, who was actually the story of a child being sent up the river and picked up by royalty. That story existed within the Assyrian mythology of Sargon the First 1,000 years before the Moses story was put together. And that story comes from out of ancient Egypt, in which that symbolizes the production of semen, the sea man, the sperm in the physical body, and it's moving up through the spinal column, which symbolizes the Nile River, to the kingdom of God, the royalty, the kingdom. All right, which is the head, the pineal gland. That's what that symbolizes. All right. The title, the function, the name of Makuru, all right, is the origin of the corruption, the name Moshe. All right, Makuru, which is a name for Tahuti, and Makuru became Mashir, a Mashir, a Moshe. All right, which the word Moshe or Moses, as in Thutmoses. Thutmoses the III also played a part in this story. So, yes, Thutmoses the III, Sargon the I, Akhenaten, all stories told over from a rendition of the older story of Tahuti. And they cast themselves also within those positions, and those stories were taken from them. For example, the book of Psalms 104, is identical to Akhenaten hymns, all right? And we know about Moses and the Ten Commandments. We know that comes from the 42 laws of Mayat, out of the 147 confessions, negative confessions as they are called, all right? Now, if you get Joyce C. James' book, he states that the title Moshe, or Moses, was a title given to initiates all over Kemet, and that the reality is rooted in the fact that it's one who achieves a certain level of development in this life and after death that was given the title Mashi. Right? In the book of the Call to Heaven, the destruction of man, Ra asked Tahuti to come with me to the mountainous region where men and women could not see them. That's Ra and Tahuti. This is why that is symbolized. That's why Ra and Tahuti symbolizes the right and the left eye. And man cannot see them because they was third eye blind. If their third eye was open, then they would be able to see Ra and Tahuti, which symbolizes the left and right eye. So Ra takes on the form of a god of light and is thus called Ra Akohu. Tahuti, which is Marshi or Mushi, goes to the mountainous area or region to see the god of light, symbolizing the burning bush also. All right, so Ra directs Tahuti to write down what is in the spirit world. Tahuti is given the title Anmayat, or the scribe of the divine law. Hence, his wife is Mayat. All right, so Tahuti is instructed to become the lawgiver. The Ten Commandments is inscribed in the stone. Ra makes Tahuti his deputy on earth. Hence, this is where the story of Gabriel, because Tahuti also symbolizes Geb, and in the Old Testament, becomes the angel Gabriel, or the archangel Gabriel, becomes the messenger of God. And Tahuti is given an assistant, and the assistant is the divine baboon called Anan. All right? And, of course, Anan becomes corrupted, becomes Aaron, which becomes Aaron. All right? This is what is going on, yo. So now you have Moses and Aaron, you know, going before the Pharaoh. All right? That's what's going on. So y'all have to understand it. You get to the fictional character David, Dawid, Daoud. DWD, is actually taken from Tahuti again. T-U-T, which is touch. All right, so, you know, when you're dealing with Tahuti, his name is Tuti, T-H-U-T-I. All right, in which that becomes Tut, T-U-T. All right, so Tahuti, you know, becomes Jehuti. He becomes Tahuti, you know, a Jehuti, a Dao, in which that undoubt, you know, was corrupted to the word Dawud. All right, in the Arabic, and the equivalent of the Hebrew is Dawid. And the English is David. But this is the character of Tahuti. You have Abraham, and we spoke about it a little bit earlier. But Abraham also symbolizes a title. You have to understand that Tahuti had over 50 names. And these characters of the Bible symbolize these particular titles of Tahuti. An aspect of consciousness, an aspect of wisdom, which also symbolizes your particular organs in your body and particular glands and hormonal functions. All right, so Abraham symbolizes also Tahuti. All right, a form of Tahuti. Abraham, which is one of his names, Tahuti, once again, is the reference to Abraham and Abraham. All right, and we know that Abraham is the ancient Kemetic name of, we know that's an Egyptian name or Kemetic name anyway. Ab means father, Ra, sun, light, and then Ham, which means black. So, the father of the black light, right, symbolically, that could be also, you know, what that symbolizes based on those three words, or actually ancient Egyptian words, or ancient Kemetic words, and we said break down to that. So what is that? That's Tamarit your melanin. Your pineal gland is your father who art in heaven, which is the highest endocrine gland in your body, which sits near the top of the head, which is in the shape of the pine, which is in the shape of a pine cone. It is also in the shape of the head of the penis. So hence it's called pineal, just like your penis head, brothers, as well as also the woman on her clitoris, is the pineal gland. On the woman, it's the clitoris, or the clitoris. But that's what that is. This is why, like we said last week, why they locked the brothers up behind the penal system. And the sisters, you know, the brothers and sisters up in behind the penal system. Because that symbolizes the four walls of confiscation. Just like they're locked up inside of them because they don't have a sufficient amount of melanin. And because of that jealousy, they can't utilize the melanin in the melanocytes, you know. And because we made them only for a specific time period, 6,000 years, according to Elijah Muhammad and Asra Muhammad and teachings coming out from the Adept Chamber of the Moorish Science Temple of America / Moorish Holy Temple of Science / Moorish Divine National Movement of the World. So this is where this information comes from. Then you have Isaac and Ishmael, once again, fictional characters that symbolizes Heru and Set. The Cain and Abel story symbolizes that. Heru and Set. Enki and Elil symbolizes the same story. Judas and Jesus in the New Testament symbolizes the same story. The story is told over and over again. And, of course, Heru and Set symbolizes the higher self and Set the lower self. That's what that symbolizes. So the top three chakras and the lower three chakras with the meeting in the middle, which is the seventh chakra, which symbolizes, in the sense of the meeting, the heart center, which deals with conditioning love. You know, but specifically the three lower ones deals with lust, greed, and jealousy. And then, of course, even the heart itself, envy, hatred, can also be there. All right? So we're dealing with the lower emotions. And then once you're inside your higher body, which is the three higher bodies, which is your three higher chakras, that is your immortal body. The other three or four, based on the condition of your consciousness, dies along with the physical body and goes back to what is called the realm of form. The three higher ones is what continues on after the death of the physical body, which is called your Aku or Ku, your Ka, and your Ba, which is talking about your glorified light body, symbolizes the throat chakra. The Ka symbolizes the pituitary gland information, as well as also the pineal gland with the soul symbolized as the Ba. All right, so the pituitary gland symbolizes the spirit. So this is what we're talking about, the glorified light body, so light, spirit, and soul is what survives the death of the physical body. And this is what this play is with Isaac Ishmael and this information being told over and over again throughout the various stories. All right. Semaor is what becomes Ishmael. All right. And then, of course, Isaac is from the word Shak or Shik or Heck. All right. And becomes Isaac. But that is a form of Heru. All right. So Semaor is a form of Ishmael that symbolizes Set. So this is what this is talking about. So the entire story of the Holy Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost, the Christ Jesus, the Father, you know, all of that comes from Asar, Set, and Heru. You know, even the etymology of the name Jesus, which is Yahshua, you know, the word Shu is derived actually from the firstborn son, or the first begotten son of Atum. And he was known as the personification of air. So Shu symbolized air, the breath of life. When you sneeze, you say, Yahshu. So you're calling on the name Jesus every time you sneeze. We're not talking about Jesus in the sense of this white man. We're talking about the essence. We're talking about the breath of life, what you call on every time you sneeze. There's no coincidence that you say Yahshua when you sneeze, which happened to be the name of Jesus in Hebrew, because it is giving you a clue that this symbolizes the breath of life. That's the Jesus that you should be working on and manifesting, not some white man coming out the sky or thinking that a black man is going to return to help you either. These are fictional characters. There was no anthropomorphized characters in this. It is your breath in which that leads you to salvation, which is the activation of your soul principle. It is through the breath of life. That is what meant by Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father but by me. talking about through the breath. You can't get to the soul, to awaken the soul, unless you learn how to master the science of breath. That's what this is talking about. So, you know, I just sit back and watch all these so-called, you know, teachers, you know, try to teach this information, and you still have your niggas caught up into these fucking mythologies. You know, instead of teaching you what the symbolism really means as far as it relates to the physical body. You know, these motherfuckers are jokes, and y'all getting joked and clowned right along with them listening to them. This is a real serious problem going on out here. You know, niggas debating on Islam, against Christianity, against Judaism. Well, I let y'all have that shit. For those that's ready to roll to the next level of consciousness, it's 2012. I can't fuck around with y'all niggas no more. When y'all ready to damn come into higher consciousness, come on. Let's do it. Learn the science of breath. Learn the science of alternative healing. Learn the science of prana, qigong, tai chi, reiki, pranayama. Learn these higher sciences. Learn how to damn use the whole world as your energy source. Not just cutting up animals and shit. Not having goddamn blood sacrifices. Animal or human or otherwise. Some of you niggas waiting on goddamn UFOs to come out the sky to save your monkey asses. Well, if you ain't damn enlightened enough, and if you're not light enough physically through your molecular system, and your molecules, as we would say, and your molecular structure, then you're not going to be able to go into any ship anyway. And the only way you can do that and achieve that is through the science of breath. Get your book by Yogi Rama Chakra, The Science of Breath. Learn this shit. I know I'm doing a lot of cursing tonight, but I'm tired of the foolishness. Seriously. You know, it's the time, you know, can't no more hoodwinking. You know, now we have Solomon, a fictional character, another one. You know, Solomon, Sheba, Menelik, all fictions. The allegories. Stories based on also a set in Heru, in its stellar aspects, dealing with the stars. Also in the sky is called Sol in Kemet or Temeray. That's the Orion constellation, which means Orion means Orion or Uranus, which means heaven, which also is called also Sol. And the title of his is Hari Mat. Hari, which is the word as they use within Hare Krishna, within the Hindu Kush or the Indians from out of India, same deity. Hari means he who is above, a chief, leader, king. Mat means north, northern territory, symbolizes the crown chakra, the kingdom, once again. So Hari Mat means the king of the chiefs of the northern territory, or the northern region. Right? That's where he was resurrected and made his entrance into the heavenly realm, which is as above, so below, as within, so without. It becomes the constellation Orion. The function is God in nature. All right? Then, of course, like I said, Sheba and Menelik, once again, fictional characters, are set, takes up her residence in star constellation Depati, which is Sirius. You go to the Holy Quran, the 53rd chapter, or Surah, it specifically speaks about what is called the chapter of Nigem. Nigem means the star. And you will see where it says the Lord God Almighty, or the Almighty God, or Allah, the Mighty God, is the Lord of the star Sirius. It says it right there in the Holy Quran in the 53rd chapter. And that symbolizes Aset, the Mother Goddess principle. And Aset is also called the Great Provider. She's the queen of the star system Sirius. And Sepat is corrupt into Sabat, Sheba, Saba. This is where this comes from. All right? Now, when you get into, because I'm saying all this because you know, a lot of people rather deal with fiction and deal with, you know, mythology without the explanation of it, of the symbology. You can't deal with that no longer. Right? Menelik, which means the son of the wise one, symbolic to Solomon, of course. Of course, that symbolizes another form of Tahuti. Right? That comes from the Perak Rakit. All right? In which that becomes Bena Rakhen, which becomes Menelik. That's where that corruption comes from. Once again, from off the walls of ancient Egypt, from the Metaneta, particular hieroglyphics. Allah, which is another fictional character in a sense, is one of the names of Ra, Ra-Ur, or Ra. Or Ra means Ra, the Great One. Okay? The R's and the L's, once again, are interchangeable in the ancient Kemetic language. Or Tamaran language. All right? And this, and Allah symbolizes the soul. Once again, Asar, Aset, and Heru, which symbolizes Solomon, Sheba, excuse me, and Menelik, symbolizes three aspects of Yantian, as well as also the Kutalini energy, which is Aset, or Sheba, going to awaken Solomon, the wise one, or Saul, to the kingship, which is Menelik, which is Heru. That's what that symbolizes. So those three particular chakras symbolizes that. Muhammad, another fictional character, symbolizes and comes from, like we said before, Hapi. All right? Hapi, who's the Nile River god in Kemet. And he's the masculine spirit that operates through the body of the river of water. Of course, the Nile River is the longest river in the world, so it was based on Hap or Hapi. So the deity Hapi was recognized in his twin aspect. And so as Hap flows through the southern part of the country, he's called Hap-Reset, meaning Happy of the South. And as Hap flowed through the northern part of the country, he's called Hap-Mot. Hap-Mot, meaning Hap of the north. All right? And the water is called Mu. So you add Mu to Hap-Mot, Muhammad. A title of Hap, meaning waters, or the Mu of the northern Nile. This is the ancient title of Hap, used for thousands of years before the by the people of Kemet. Thus, the title Muhammad is corruption because it tells you that Ahmed ibn Abdullah al-Amin Mustafa, which was so-called Prophet Muhammad's name, he went into Ethiopia. And after he left and during the time of Ethiopia and afterwards, he changed his name from Ahmed to Muhammad. So he learned about Muhammad, about this ancient happy deity from the Ethiopian slash Egyptian ancestry in which that he had, according to the Hadith, which of course are words of men, so we can't say if he existed or not. Of course, you know, someone will perpetuate the myth that he did, and of course, you know, used stories in order to convey the same message. But I remember telling Brother Ali Muhammad that as many stories as you have in order to try to prove to me that Muhammad existed, I had just as many stories in order to prove to you that Jesus existed, but yet you say Jesus didn't exist. So this is the key in the science of all of this, is that these stories were utilized by different cultures of the same people, traditions of the same people. However, when it came to being put into book form, these particular bloodlines took these stories, like you said last week, like we looked at Orias Pisos, or Pisos, how he was related to the Ptolemies of ancient Egypt, who was the last ruler before the decline and the fall of Egypt, the Ptolemies. He was related to them, and he took the stories that was on the walls of ancient Egypt and parlayed them into a play. And he took the play, and he formed the New Testament into it, all right, based off the information that he had from the Old Testament, which was plagiarized or borrowed, as we would say, from the same sources, all right? So this is why We're going to get back to that in a minute, but that's the story which I'll be talking about. So we find that when you look at Muhammad, which is corruption, the word Muhammad, and it says that Muhammad bought, which is happy, bought Sarem. He brought Sarem to the people. So the word Sarem, S-A-R-E-M, the word Sa means shrine or sanctuary of God or goddess. Rem means the tear of Ra. So Sarem is the title of happy or Hap, meaning the river Hap is the shrine or sanctuary of the divine tear of Ra. All right, and in this aspect, on Ra's feminine aspect, is Aset or Sapati, which is the star constellation Sirius. This is the reason why the Dogon say that we come from the star constellation Sirius. And in their mythology, they say that we come from star constellation Sirius. Right? There's no coincidence that Sirius is the brightest star in the sky outside of the brightest object in the sky, which is the planet Venus. All right? It's even brighter than the North Star. So this title Sarem was corrupted to Salem, which become Islam. So when it says that Muhammad brought Islam to the people, you're talking about happy bringing the waters of life to the divine sanctuary or shrine. All right? This is what this is talking about. But because people don't want to do research and study, you get caught up in the fiction. So here, Baal, another fictional character, and it's none other than the ancient god Baal, or Bel. Right, and Bel is a form of Set. He's called Bar, or Bar-Ur. And the word Bar, within Aramaic, means son of. All right, so it's Bar-Ur, Bar the Great, becomes Bar-Ul, and Bar-Ul becomes Baal. All right, which once again is a form of Set. Some of the pre-dynastic form of Set when this Taset on the Tasetians. And it was the Tarnesians acknowledge that. All right? Then, of course, we have Jacob, another fictional character, in which that actually is from the god Canoon. And it's shown as the red, as the ram-headed deity fashioned with the souls of the person on the potter's wheel. Right? This is where you also see the picture of what becomes Adam and Eve being formed on the potter's wheel. And, of course, you know, when a pot is at his potter's wheel, he's using clay. So they say that man was made out of clay or water and dust of the ground. Or in the Quran, black mud. The black mud symbolizes melanin or carbon. And, of course, when you analyze melanin, it's carbon. It is carbon. All right? We're basically going to leave it right there. You know what I'm saying? We're going to go into a little commercial. We're going to come on back, hopefully with some questions and answers. And hopefully y'all be able to add on. You know what I mean? All right. Looking like 300 coming back from his bed like Pharaoh.
money up. Fuck. You need me to holler at Steve Riskin? Hit him escape from New York like Snake Plissken? I told you from the gate that you needed more marketing, and these major labels are not listening. Stood in the B-boy stance, teeth glistening from the gold in his mouth, summer breeze whistling. I contemplated my retort, eyes fixed in on a crucifix around his neck, I guess he was Christian. Checked in the police siren and kicked into the soundtrack of the hood, so I spoke with conviction. Spoke as if I was 16, sickin'. Put a little bass in my voice like pitch bend, 'cause where I come from, where I come from, we all come from. Sky, moon, stars, the earth, and sun. Multiple skin tones, blood is one. The pen is the ammo to my automatic gun. Bring to fruition what I write to get me out of the slums. And I'm shine, 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 shine like the sun, the world's mine. Each line of speech designed to transcend time and reach the unborn and transform your mind. And I'm shine, shine. Now New York, if you're in the house, and you're turning it out without a doubt, know what I'm talking about, just scream and shout, and everybody say, now Detroit, what the fuck the beat, getting wild in the street, see the mark of the beat, face the police, what up, man? Shot-town, what the fuck the sound, so by the pound, just get on down.
Right back into the discussion. I think we have one caller on the line right now that has some questions, so I'm going to try to get to them. Area code 813, you're on the line.
Hey, peace, brother. This is Brother Mike I.L., man, D.C. area.
Peace, peace. How you doing?
What's going on with the champ, man? I commend you, brother. You know what I'm saying? You're doing that. You're on that path. It's a beautiful thing. And last week, I missed your show last week. But I heard in the archives, man, I think that was like your most powerful show last week. Man,
yeah.
And you should know more than anything about this Heru energy because you the Aries, you the head.
Oh yeah.
If you really break it down, because on that date, because you know that's actually the beginning of the galactic year. 2012. Actually, that's 333. That's 9. That's born. I think that is the actual date that it's going to start. You know what I'm saying? As far as that energy. And a brother was asking me the other day, he's like, man, what's up with that 144,000? What's up with the 144,000? And, you know, as soon as I ask the question, I go to bed, boom, and I get the answer. This is that 144,000. As far as the chakra system, as far as the root chakra, you know, that's the Mola Hora. I'm not even going to, you know, chew the words up, so I'm just going to say root chakra, sacral. Correct, there you go. The root chakra is 4, sacral is 6, the solar plexus, is 10, the heart is 12, the throat is 16, the third eye is 96. You add those together, that's 144. And, you know, the crown is the 30. So you multiply that, that's the 144,000. So it goes right back to what you all, every show you always say the same thing. Y'all niggas got to breathe.
Right.
That's that 144,000.
Right. Well, we just finished playing the song Shine, Shine, Shine by my man, Pharoah Monch. And so through the breath, you make your body shine. In other words, you light up those chakras or those 7 churches. And whenever you deal with that, you know, you bring forth a certain amount of enlightenment and different states of consciousness. the higher you rise within your chakra system, the more you expand your mind, the more you're able to tap into those aspects of the universe in which that you was questioning before, but like you just did, now you have the answers. So when you go to sleep, you can have the answers because you are able to tap into the Akashic records. You're able to tap into that universal library now.
That's right. And I want to clarify, because I just don't want to throw numbers out there and people say, okay, now what the hell does he mean by, you know, March 21st and, you know, what that mean? That's going to be the start. That is the start. That is the time when the sun is out the longest.
Right.
You know, the sun is at its peak. And then, you know what I'm saying, from there, and that's why I say that's the start of, that's the beginning of the new year, not the first of the, you know, January 1st. That's where we're going in calendar. Everything is still dead,
right.
You know what I'm saying, still in the winter.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's what, yeah. But then when I add the numbers up, I'm like, damn, that's nine. Nine is born. So I'm
right.
Like, okay, okay.
Right.
And then going back
right.
to,
yeah.
And then going back to.
Oh, go ahead.
No, please.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say, the Kabbalistic text 144, means illuminated ones, you know what I'm saying? It means light bearers, a light. So it goes right back to that same shine aspect once again, the illuminated ones.
That's right. And see, I want to, because this is how I am, you know what I'm saying? I can hear things, I can move with things, I can feel things, but, you know, a lot of people get lost because, you know, when people just spit numbers out there, they can't put it, they can't connect it to themselves. So as
right.
far as, like, when you were calling out the great year, you know, the 25,920 or the 24,000, which is the great
right.
year, they can multiply. You know, they can do it themselves. Like, on you shooting dice, you got four corners. That's 90 degrees.
Right.
Four times 90 is 360. That's 360 degrees right there. Then you times that
right.
six because you got six corners, which is that's the so-called Yahshua on the cross. That's six. That's that cube. So you multiply that by the 360 by the 6, and that's 2,160. And someone else was telling me the other day that number, 2,000, well, actually, it might have been something more than that, but 2,160 pertains to that, the axis, the earth is on its axis, and when it takes that the complete spin or something like that, I don't want to, you know, say, because I don't have the complete dissertation on it, so I'm just throwing the numbers out there for a second. But let me finish this one then. And then you times that by the 12, that's a constellation. 12 constellations, that's 2,160 times 12, that's 5,920. Well, you know, you can slash that by the 24,000, the great year. So you can put yourself.
That's right. That's right. Right, 25,920, that's exactly right.
You're
listening to the brother, he's on it.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, we can do it. It's not about somebody listening to you all the time. It's not about somebody listening to me. We got to get this shit ourselves because we're going to be lost out here if you can't connect it. It's beautiful that I can call, I can sit here and listen to you. Because, you know,
right.
we got to appreciate this. And with that
right.
love, you know, what's that love, John? That's 396, that's love, the vibration, the frequency,
right.
the hertz, something like that.
Oh, 528. Yeah. Right. 528. Mm-hmm.
528, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's love.
Yep. You got to get on these vibrations, man. And actually, I got some dates, you know, it'll be in the archive so they can, you know, listen to it. Because I hear a lot of people getting enthralled about, you know, the quote-unquote illuminated ones. You know, the so-called Illuminati and the... you know, the stuff they did as far as the Super Bowl, the stuff they was doing as far as...
right.
The stuff they was doing as far as our sister, our beloved sister, just passed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but... Hold on. My phone's about to go dead, so I got to put this... Hold on one second, I'll put this cord in here. Hold on one second. Yeah, my phone was about to go dead. Yeah, and... Even if they did have something to do with it, or if they didn't, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I don't do the CIS, you know, astrological, you know, the breakdown. I don't do that. So I don't know if she did it, they did it or not. But I just know this: you can ride off that energy, because these yogas got certain dates. Actually, it's not even their dates. These are universal dates. You got December the 21st. That's the Yule. and that's the winter solstice. And you got February the 1st, that's Imbolc. Actually, that's what they wrote on right there with the Imbolc, with the Valentine's Day, and also, you know, with for her death and all that too. And you got March 21st. That's the energy that I'm saying that we're going to ride on right here. Because they're going to do something big on the 31st. That's when they always start the wars and stuff like that. You know, Aries is always a good war time. That's probably when they'll try to go kick off that World War III bullshit. But as long as you know this stuff, this is not for fear. This is for information, to be informative. March 21st, that's Ostara, and that's the spring equinox. And also you got, you know, April Fool's around that time. And then you got May the 1st, that's Beltane, and you got May Day. June 21st, you got Litha, that's the summer solstice, and also, you know, Independence Day. August the 1st, Lug Nasada, something like that. You know, y'all can break it down. September the 20th, the 21st, you got Maybong, and that's, you know, the autumn. And then you got October 31st, that's Samhain. They ride off of these dates, so if they ride off it, you can ride off of it. Get this energy, man. Stop being afraid of this shit. Get this energy. And I love the way you breaking down all them little bullshit-ass myths. Break it down,
okay,
man.
Okay. All right. Thanks, bro.
I appreciate you, look. Man, love, man.
I appreciate you. No doubt. Much love, God. All right. We got another caller. All right. Somehow they blinked out. Hopefully they'll come back on. But anyway, let's get back into the information. We were talking about also about the Quran and the original source of the Quran. We know, as we said, 73% of it comes from the Old and New Testament. The other 27% comes from the Zoroastrian text called the Advaita, as well as also in the lost books of the Bible, the Forgotten Books of Eden, and the Apocrypha. Now, the Quran even states this, because the Holy Quran also means sun cycle, right? Holy means sun. Quran, which chronologically means cycle of time. So the Holy Quran is a sun book, just like the Bible is, symbolized the sun cycle. This is why a lot of the chapters deals with the stars, all right, and the heavens, such as, like you said, Najm. The 53rd surah is called Najm, which means the star. All right, there's a chapter in there for the 12 zodiac signs, the moon, El Kamar, right, the sun, El Shem. All right, so they deal with this. So when anyone say that Islam don't deal with astronomy or astrology, that's a lie. The book is based on it. As above, so below, as within, so without. Now, if you go to the Holy Quran, the 25th surah and the 5th ayat, it says, and they say, tales of the ancient, which he has caused to be written, and they are dictated before him morning and evening. So the tales of the ancient, it tells you where the Quran comes from the tales of the ancient. All right, you go to the Holy Quran, Surah, Shuara, which is the poet, which is the 26th Surah and 196th Ayat, which is the word Surah means chapter, Ayat means verse. And it reads, Wa innahu lafi zu buri al alwalina, which means, without doubt, it is announced in the mystic books of the former peoples. That's what it means, in the mystic books of the former peoples. So who was before the Quran? Oh, the Christians with the Old New Testament, or before them, the Jews with the Old Testament, and even before them, the tales of the ancients, which is the ancient Egyptians, the tales of the mystery school. Now, when you look up the word mystic, it says mysteries that transcend ordinary human knowledge. It involves or characterized by esoteric or otherworldly or symbolic practice or content at certain religious ceremonies and art. Literally significate ethereal, or of the nature of pertaining to mysteries known only to the initiate, mystic rites, of occult character, power, or significance, a mystic formula, or obscure or mysterious character, or significance, or pertaining to mystics or mysticism. So it's basically, you talk about, I'm a mystic, the person who claims to obtain or believe in the possibilities of attaining insight into mysteries transcending ordinary human knowledge, as by direct communication with the divine or immediate intuition in a state of spiritual ecstasy. A person initiated into the religious mysteries. So when it says, so what are the mystic books of the former people that the Quran is referring to? Well, you go to the Holy Quran, the 43rd surah in the 4th ayat. It says the mother of the books, which is Allahumma al-Kitab. It says the foundation of the revelation, the preserved tablets, is the core or essence of revelation. The mother of the book is in Allah's own presence. This is what it says. All right? Now, and I just want to say that because there's a lot of lost books in the Bible that you might not know about, so I'm going to go over them. You know, before we get back to question and answers, but you have the Book of the Covenant, which is spoken of within Exodus, the 24th chapter, the 7th verse. The Book of Wars of the Lord, Numbers 21:14. You have the Book of Yasher, which is in Joshua, the 10th chapter, the 13th verse. And 2 Samuel, the 1st chapter, the 18th verse. You have the Manna of the Kingdom, which is the Book of Statutes, which is 1 Samuel 10:25. You have the Book of Samuel, the Seer, which is 1 Chronicles 29:29. You have Nathaniel, the prophet, 1 Chronicles 29:29. 2 Chronicles 9:29. You have the Acts of Solomon, 1 Kings 11:41. You have the prophecy of Abijah, which is 2 Chronicles 9:29. The story of Prophet Iddo, which is 2 Chronicles 13:22. You have the vision of Iddo, the Seer, 2 Chronicles 9:29. You have the Edo's genealogy, which is 2 Chronicles 12:15. You have Shemaiah, the prophet, 2 Chronicles 12:15. You have the Acts of Rehoboam, which is 2 Chronicles 12:15. You have the Book of Jehu, which is 2 Chronicles 20:34. You have the Acts of Jehoshaphat, which is 2 Chronicles 20:34. You have the sayings of Seer, 2 Chronicles 33:19. You have the Book of Gad, the Seer, 1 Chronicles 29:29. You have the prophecies of Enoch, Jude 1:14. You have the epistles or letters of Corinth, which is 1 Corinthians 5:9. You have the epistles to Ephesians, which is Ephesians 3:3. You have the epistles from Laodicea to the Colossians, which is Colossians 4:16. You have the Nazarene prophecy source, which is Matthew 2:23. You have the Acts of Hosea, which is 2 Chronicles 26:22. You have the Annals of King David, 1 Chronicles 27:24, and you have Jude, the missing epistle, which is Jude 1:3. So these are the books that the Bible speaks about, but there's no copies of these books. They're not in your Apocrypha. They're not in your Lost Books of the Bible, Forgotten Books of Eden. All right? So where are these books at? That's the question. One of the books have been found, which is called the Book of Yasher, in which that the Pope has. So that means that a lot of these books are locked up in the Vatican, and we know that that the Vatican has underground about a mile long library of scrolls, over 200,000 scrolls, which have been salvaged from out of the Alexandria Library out of 700,000. 200,000 was salvaged, supposedly from during the time of the burning, and they was confiscated and they was taken to Rome. All right, then of course we know that there's other books. So they have these particular books, and it's guarded by by guards behind these steel doors, you know, to get to this library. Portion of it was shown to you on Demons and Angels with Tom Hanks, or Angels and Demons, or whatever the name of it was. All right, so we know that. So you have the Apocrypha, you have the Lost Books of the Bible, Forgotten Books of Eden, you have the Dead Sea Scrolls, you have the Book of Mormons, the Popova, the Chalim, the Lamb, the Codes, the Laws of Hammurabi, the Tao of Teaching, the I Ching, Five Baskets of Buddha Zen, or Zen Buddha, the Bhagavad Gita, the Upanishads, the Bhagavata, the Vedas, or the Rig Veda, the Bible, the Quran, the Ra Papyrus, as we call it, the Book of Rising Like Ra, includes the Hoshea, which is the oldest book, one of the oldest books, the Opening Up the Mouth Ceremony by Day and Night, the Purim Heru, Sut Text, as well as also the Book of Rising and Transformation, the Kemetian Mir, or Pyramid Papyrus, as well as the Egyptian coffin text, as they refer to it, also the Greenfield Papyrus. You have the Enuma Elish, the Epic of Gilgamesh, the Tablets of Nergal and Erishagal. You have the Tablets of Adap, which of course is Enoch. You have the Tablet of Etana, which is Elijah. You have the Tablets of the Descent of Ishtar to the Underworld, which is Isis or Esther, within the Old Testament, and Easter within the Passover, during the time as a star, as the brother was talking about earlier on the last caller. So these are particular books, and history has so many missing pages. The Temple of Ptah's library in Memphis was completely destroyed. The Pergamus library in Asia Minor was totally demolished, and it contained over 200,000 volumes. In a 17-day fire, the city of Carthage, Rome, was burnt to the ground, along with its 500,000 volumes. However, the known greatest loss was the burning of Alexandria Library, during which 700,000 priceless scrolls were supposedly consumed. Like I said, 200,000 of them was found their way within the Vatican. All right? In the Barakat, the Druid College, as it was, as what is now Autun in France, thousands of scrolls perished there, right? That was in the capital. That was part of the school of the capital, which is Bar Aset, or Bar Isis, which you come to wear in Paris, right? The school of thought was linked to the ancient temple of Bar Aset, all right? Which is, of course, which means the spirit or the soul of our sect, was symbolized that they was astrologers and they did work with the star constellation Sirius. All right? You had Emperor Taksin Shi Huang. Huang issued an edict whereby numerous books were burnt in China in the 213 BCE. All right? In the 8th century, Leo Isaurus destroyed 300,000 books. Number of manuscripts lost or in burnt during the Inquisitions and during the Crusades can hardly be estimated. Right? According to the story of the Moors of Spain by Stanley Poole, he states that the first so-called civilized Europeans were the Greeks, who were chiefly civilized by the Africans of the Nile Valley. The Greeks transmitted this culture to the Romans, who finally lost it. Being in the dark age of 500 years, and of course we know the Moors came back and civilized them, once that civilization was restored to Europe with another group of Africans, the Moors, who brought them from out of the dark age, all right? And of course the Moors acquired knowledge from around the world, so they even ransacked reports that one Moorish king had an incredible private library of 600,000 books. 600,000 books. Even so, it has been manuscripts and etc. Which, if all the manuscript scrolls were spread out, that would extend over 13 miles, right? In the basement of the Vatican, as I was saying earlier, where the library is located, a guard is placed outside in front of a heavy steel door to protect the stolen treasures. All right? Now, you have Al-Hassan Muhammad Al-Fassi, who was a Moor, and within many names, such as he was also known as Leo Africanus. All right? And in his book, it says the history and the description of Africa and the notable things contained therein. He said that at Timbuktu are a great store of doctors, judges, priests, and other learned men, and hither are brought diverse manuscripts or written books out of the North Africa, which was sold for more money than any other merchandise. All right? Then you got the Sankori scholars who had great libraries containing thousands of books, bringing them with their astrotheological legends and metaphysical teachings dating back before 3200 BCE. Right? Of course, you get this information from the Golden Ages of the Moor by Ivan von Sertima. And he writes that many of the written records left by the Olmecs in South America were systematically destroyed by the European discoverers of the New World. The very people who burnt down the library of the African Moors in Spain were the same people who destroyed the written records of the Olmec civilization. All right? So, he said, we found a large number of books. They contained but superstition. We burnt them all, which they regretted to an amazing degree. This is what was said by the Spanish bishop of the Yucatan, Diego de Leyenda. All right? And he says that they were burnt, and we must, and which caused them much affliction. You know what I'm saying? Antonius de Cudan Real, the Spanish historian, also affirmed that in 1588 AD, that the Spanish burnt many historical books of the ancient Yucatan, which told of its beginning in history. Therefore, we now have to depend on our African ancestral data bank, or memory bank, as Ashwa Kwesi speak about, and the leftover disconnected book fragments to fill in the void. So this book, my book in particular, and others, have been basically written to help in the process of piecing this puzzle back together. So this is a lot of the information, and we're going to get back into some music, and we're going to try to come back to the line and see if there's any more questions here in a minute. All right. As a matter of fact, we got a question. Let me go to it. It's 321, area code 321. You're on the line. 321. Area code 321. Area code 321. All right. We're going to go.
Stuff. But when you really study it, it's fear. It's on a adopted and why? Because your culture, you forgot it. December 2012, let's continue this topic. Turn the page, the present world age began 3,114 BC. According to the Mayan calendar, this age concludes December 21st, 2012 AD. This 5,125 year cycle of time is one world age. Nothing changes overnight. It's all a process, a transition. It happens over many days. In the Mayan calculation, a kin is one day. The Mayan you and all, that's 20 days. The tune is 360 days. The cop tune is 7,200 days. The bop tune is 144,000 days. And they apply that to the Milky Way. In the cycles, they saw the sun moving across the Milky Way's equator, lining up with other galactic neighbors. We've been shifting for 30 years, it seems, from 1980 to about 2016. The shift is now, it's occurring now. But if you're learning from the movies, you won't know how to survive or stay alive after the storm. And after that, a new world order is born. You don't know, man, about their programs? You still watching Lindsay? You don't see that low hand? In the Aztec year, Juan Reed. That's the year Quince Colac was prophesied to return from exile. In fact, Cortez played out the Aztec myth and took away those people's will to resist. Cortez played on religious beliefs and blinded the Aztecs because he was a thief. Look, the Yucatan, that's the Mayan book of cycles. It lets the Mayans know when the gods are going to strike you. In fact, every 13 cartoons you see, the Mayans are hitting with a catastrophe. So every 256 7 years, the Mayan people lived with this fear. They're on the island of Tyrosaur, now Flores. The Mayans came on with this knowledge. They knew, according to the Mayan heavens, that the next cycle was 1697. So as the Mayans stood there fixed on the heavens, the Spanish showed up with all of their weapons. March 13th, 1697, the Mayan people learned a terrible lesson. Your fears and tears are used against you. That 80% of world control is meant to hold. But that to the Mayans, they're getting some more. 257 years after Tyrosaur, a U.S. back coup overthrows their democracy in 1954. That's exactly 257 years from when the Spaniards arrived at their shores. I'm getting to the core of the lesson. Let's see what happens in 2211. That's the next cycle. The people remember, like 2012, the 21st of December. The consciousness will shift. You may turn the light, but you are the universe. You're gonna be alright. The pole may shift, your soul may lift to higher consciousness, but you know all this. The edutainment style will persist. Forget the fear, acknowledge it when it's all lit.
All right, let's get back to the question and answers. We got another question here. That's area code 302. Area code 302, you're on the line. 302, you're
peace.
On the line.
Peace. What's going on? It's your brother Messiah.
All right.
I just wanted to ask you about the seven chakras.
Yes.
I've heard that there are 12 corresponding,
right.
12 planets as well.
Well, we're going to go to the Book of Revelation. check this out. Go to the book of Revelation and read from the first chapter to the 12th chapter. There is only to speak of the seven, but by the time you get to the 12th chapter, it moves from seven stars, in which that was on the right-hand side of the Son of Man, or the, in the hand of the Son of Man, to 12 stars above the head of the woman. So it went from seven stars to 12 stars. So, yes, we're graduating from a seven chakra system, nine chakra system, to a 12 chakra system. You know, but shit, niggas ain't got seven correct yet. So, you know, we got to make sure that they get the seven correct first, then they can move to the nine and then to the 12.
Oh, all right.
Right, and these organs are going to be reinstilled or reinstated through their genetic structure back into their body. Like, for example, Dr. York speak about the Batharian gland or Batharian gland, which that was taken from out of the hippocampus area and now put within the submental region of the chin, lower chin area, above the neck and behind the chin area. There's like a ball area. You feel like a little ball or two balls areas up under the chin. That is the Batharian gland. And then Dr. Gilbert Blair speaks about another gland in which that sits at the roof of the mouth, called the epiphany gland. And so those two glands would give the person a nine gland or nine chakra system. However, you have to see if you have those particular glands. I can't tell you if you do, but I know that if you're able to hear this message and information, then more than likely you do. And they and those glands are reappearing within your being as we speak. You know what I'm saying? That's the whole point of teachers, is to activate the memory codes in your DNA. That's the reason why you have to hear someone speak, because it's power in the words. The word made flesh. So by you hearing someone speak a particular tone and information and knowledge or frequency, it reactivates these particular glands in your body in order to help you with this transition in this day and time.
Okay. All right. Now, one more question in regards to what you just said. Now, the 33 degrees of Scottish Rite, Freemasonry, or the European order,
right?
Are they, do they give off vibrations which will align, will activate these 33 energy centers within your vertebrae?
Right. Well, there's 33 vertebrates, right? So each step, or each vertebrae symbolizes a step or a degree in Freemasonry, which comes up to 33. Each one also symbolizes the years in which that Jesus existed, you know, in human form, which is actually talking about you, the breath of life is what the physical body in human form. Yahshua, which is the breath of life, what the physical body into human form. The soul is activated when the child first takes his, at the child's first breath. When the doctor spanked the child on his ass, the first breath is what activates the soul within each and every one of us. So hence, God breathed into the nostrils of man to make man a living soul. So through the breath is what activates those particular chakras along the 33 steps or degrees or vertebrates, in which that is called the Djid, or the backbone of Osiris. And the word Djid is where the word Jedi comes from in Star Wars, that George Lucas was dealing with, because he is a Rosicrucian and an occultist. And the word Jedi, hence each Jedi had a particular lightsaber in which that symbolized the various colors or spectrums of the visible spectrum, or all the rainbow colors from Roy G. Biddy: red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. And if you notice who had the highest one, which was violet, and that was Samuel Jackson.
All right. George Lucas, he was a Rosicrucian.
Yeah, he's a Rosicrucian and an occultist, yes. So he knew all this information back in the 70s, being a student of Egyptology or Kemetology.
Yeah, well, you can definitely see it, and you can see a reflection of that in the movies.
Right. Exactly.
A lot of movie producers, not just him. What's the guy? Oh. Michael Bay.
Right. All of them are Masons or either Rosicrucians or you know, some type of other occult school such as Astaria, the Golden Dawn, or the OTO, or the AA, or, you know, different branches of the Rosicrucians, you know, Theosophical Society, you know, whatever the case may be. All of that is more science. All of that is the ancient mysteries called the Hakka or the Herbach teachings, which are the teachings of light. Okay. For the Messiah?
Okay.
Oh, okay.
That's peace, Lord.
All right, no doubt, Lord. All right, we're going to go to the next caller. 347 the area code. 347 area code. You on the line. Peace.
Peace, Ali. This is Brother Kyle. How you doing?
Peace, God. How you doing?
Man, what was the name of that KRS-One track you just dropped, man? That was on and popping.
That's called a Tekakau.
The Tekakau?
Yeah, a Tekakau. A-Z-T-E-C-N-I-C-A-L. A Tekakau.
Oh, a Tekakau. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, man, he was dropping a lot of truth in there, man. A lot of people won't know what that man's talking about, though, man.
Oh, I know. And the fact that we just finished building with As Above, So Below, As Within, So Without, and we've done astrology and the Quran being 25,000-year renewal of history, I thought that was appropriate being that we're in 2012, and that's what he was building on.
Yeah, that's what's up, man. Good show, though, man. Word.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, always, always. We're going to bring you the truth and the facts, and no one can run from it. They're going to have to come in hard battling against this here. All right. Thank you, brother.
All right. Peace.
All right. Peace. We got area code 408. Area code 408. You're on the air.
Peace, brother Arlene.
Peace, Zach. How you doing?
I'm good, brother. I'm calling from Cali right now. And I had a question of, you know, you're talking about religion, right? And it seems that symbolism, which can be tricky, plays, you know, part of religion. And I wanted to find out somebody can explain to me, because I've seen it and I don't understand it. The Baphomet symbol, is that part of a religion? Is that a progressive or recessive? And where did it come from? And, I mean, I'm still trying to understand it. Or does it have anything to do with religion?
No. Actually, the Baphomet symbol was drawn, the one that they always show us, was drawn by Eliphas Levi, who was the head of Rosicrucians. And actually, Eliphas Levi came down off the throne as being the head of Rosicrucian and passed the throne over to a Moor by the name of Pascal Beverly Randolph. All right.
Okay.
It was back in 1858, you know what I'm saying, when this occurred. And so, I guess it was around 80 or going into 60, somewhere, you know, around that time period. And it was passed on to him, you know, as a way of saying that, you know, this ancient Moorish information or the ancient mystery schools, because the Moors were the guardians of the teaching of the ancient mysteries, and they passed it back on to us. That was symbology. You know, when read up on Pascal Beverly Randolph, you find out that his best friend was Abraham Lincoln. You know what I'm saying? He was also, you know what I'm saying? When you go and do your research, you find out all these intimate connections, you know, as well as also Madame Blavatsky was his student. You know what I'm saying? And, of course, Madame Blavatsky is who sparked Adolf Hitler, Rudolf Steiner, as well as also Aleister Crowley also. All right. Crowley was also a student of Beverly Pascal Randolph and his sex magic or Tantra Kriya Yoga information, information. Okay?
Right. Well, that was the only question I had. I won't keep you any longer, but I appreciate you giving me some insight on it. And, I felt a little more relieved.
Right. Well, there's more. Like, for example, the Baphomet symbol originally was the symbol of the perfect man, in which that was the symbol of the Moors. The word Baphomet actually comes from the word Muhammad. As I as we were talking about earlier, it was an Islamic symbol in which that the goat, of course, comes from, the symbol goat comes from Capricorn. You know what I'm saying? And Capricorn, of course, is the astrological for the 11th month. For the 10th month, you know what I'm saying, of the zodiac. So Capricorn symbolizes organization, you know, and deal with money and finances, you know, and management, you know, here on the physical plane. And also the planet on which that is ruled by Capricorn is Saturn. It's the word, origin of the word Satan, also from the word Set. You know, so this is also where all of this comes from, you know. So so it's actually the symbol of the perfect man. And if you notice at the base chakra going up to the first and second chakra, you'll see the raising or the rising of the kundalini energy, all right, in this elliptical pattern going up the spinal column. It starts at the second chakra because most men has not perfected themselves beyond those two seats of lust and greed. That's what that was symbolic to. So for those who promote that symbol, they are simply saying that they are stuck at the lust and greed, at the lust and greed area of the body, which is the genitalia and the navel chakra. And that is something which that they are still working on and trying to master, which most of them, being that they are stuck at it, don't never master it. And they don't know the science of how to do a microcosmic orbit or macrocosmic orbit, how to use the breath and the visualization in order to raise the kundalini up the spine and back down, so up and down the body in order to rejuvenate it. So, I mean, these are things that they don't know, you know, and that's why we're here, to teach them. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to continue doing our job.
Indeed. It's a lovely one, too. I appreciate it, brother.
All right. Appreciate you, brother, for calling in. Let's go to the next caller. Next caller is 708. Area code 708.
Hey, what's up, brother? How you doing?
B.
This is Sinjata Kata. Hello?
Yes.
Hey, how you doing, bro? Hey, I wanted to ask you a quick question. Now, is more a science, I was reading the Circle 7 Quran, is it the same as Sufism? Because it seems like Noble Jali was dealing with a Sufistic type of Islam.
Yeah. Sufism, let me explain. Sufism is the origin of the Rosicrucian information. So that's more science. The more science of Sufism is what formed the Rosicrucian, as well in the Rosicrucian formed the Masonry. So it is all the same science coming from different aspects, but it all comes from the ancient teachings of Egypt. And like we said, the Moors are the guardians of that information, and the Moors are the ones who form Sufism. And the word Suf or Sof means wisdom. And so it's also woolly haired. And so who has woolly hair? There's only one race of people on the planet that has woolly hair. So who else could they have come from if the word Suf a soft means woody head ones.
Now, when he
and
talked
also
about
means wisdom.
Now, when he talked about those Turks, what type of Turks was he talking about? Like, was he talking about
the original Turks? The original Turks. If you read Sex and Race by J. Rogers, he tells you.
Let me write that down.
The original Moors were the Turks, or the original original people of that area were blacks.
And it's called Sex and
Race?
Now,
we're talking about the amalgamated people that come in later who claim they're on their Arab heritage from Ishmael and all that. All that shit is fictitious, as we broke down tonight.
Absolutely.
You're talking about the original people of that land were Kushites. Stemming from out of Arabia all the way into India called the Indo-Kush. And within all those regions is where we propagated at. So Iran, Iraq, Kuwait, Syria, Turkey, you know what I'm saying? All that used to be black lands, you know what I'm saying? So that's the point of J.E. Rogers, Sex and Race, and Nature Knows No Color Lines.
Sex is called Sex and Race?
Right, Sex and Race.
Okay.
Volume 1 by J.E. Rogers. Also get the book, What They Never Told You in History Class by Indo Kemet Kush.
Absolutely. So do you know why Noble Jolly, why didn't he call the people black? What did he meant by more, but he never used the word black? Was it just for that time? That's why
no,
he says that?
What happened is that the word black is an adjective, so it describes a thing, and he wanted to be in proper person, or what's called proper person proper person persona sejuris, or proper persona sejuris, which
mm-hmm.
means to be in our proper status or in our proper self. And so the word more is a proper noun. So it don't describe a thing, it is it. So the word more was more meaningful as far as saying who we are. If you get cultural genocide by Dr. Ben Yakinen, or Dr. Ben, he states in there that the word more, as well as the many other names in which that we have gone by, was some of the most honorable names that we have had throughout history.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. So it's just a name in which that we had throughout history. Like I said earlier, that the word more, the word Moors or the Maroos, they were the high priests of Ra.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Or Amen Ra,
mm-hmm.
or which is form of Ra, which becomes Allah, which is Allah.
Right, right.
So
yes,
this
sir,
is how
brother.
All of this comes into existence, and hence the reason why we acknowledge Islam, like we said, that Muhammad, the form of happy, is what brought Salem or Islam to the people, or to humanity.
Yes,
so that's
absolutely.
What all that symbolizes. It's coded. And it's, like I said earlier, it's meant for those who are rooted deeply within knowledge or firmly within knowledge to decode it. Because you're only going to be coded by the will of Allah opening your eye, which is your third eye. And when your one eye becomes single, then your whole body will be filled with light. Matthew 22nd verse. So
absolutely.
You have to have that one eye open, or what's called the third eye or first eye or all eye seeing or all seeing eye.
Yes, sir.
We ain't talking about the Illuminati shit. Oh, man. That's on the back of the dollar bill. Oh, wow. Oh, what the fuck do it mean? Oh.
Right on.
Oh, I don't know. It's an Illuminati symbol.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Illuminati. You know what I'm saying? So I ain't got time for that retarded shit.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying? You got to teach the truth.
Yes,
you know
sir.
What I'm saying?
Sir.
You know, before we can move into this next age, you know what I'm saying, live. You know, unlike what is happening now, through a lot of, death which had taken place around us, we got to make sure that we exist through this next chain of cycles here, going into this next 3,000 to 5,000 renewal history, so that we can make sure that we manifest what we want into reality and not the Albion, because he's been manifesting now for at least the last few thousand years, and it's time to knock his ass off that throne.
Mhm. Mhm. Hey, I was doing a Hindu meter chart with my with the Zagis in Hinduism, and the next destructive situation that you might see within this year possibly is something with Michael Jordan. His name came up.
Right.
So, just wanted to bring it up because we discovered Whitney Houston 2 years ago, but we didn't know it was going to come like this. So I just
right.
wanted, you know, it's a lot of stuff going on. So I, you know, that's just a possibility.
Got you. No doubt.
Yes, sir, brother. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Op. Thank you.
Please.
All right. We got some information that's going on in the chat room. You know what I'm saying? Yasi, you know what I'm saying, is stating that there's over 3,000 energy centers in the body. 7 is the most important of these, you know what I'm saying? And the soul is nothing more but the process, which is the inhalation and the exhalation, which is the breath. The breath is the soul, y'all. And what happens when you stop breathing? Oh, the soul goes. All right, so that's what it's talking about. And it says, and of course, the Kundalini is nothing more than your spinal fluid. Exactly. And you raise your spinal fluid up through the Shushumna, which is the hollow area in the back, from the sacral. And you make it predominate through you more than just 10%. As it normally is, the 10% normally just give you the ability in order to eat, sleep, shift, fucking go to work. You know what I'm saying? But you want to do more than just that. You want to spiritualize those 5 senses into the higher senses. Seeing becomes what? Clairvoyance. Hearing becomes clairaudience. Touch or feeling becomes psychemistry. All right? Touch becomes taste becomes clear gustance. Smell becomes clear sentience. So you want to move beyond just eat, sleep, shit, fuck, and go to work. Those five rituals that you do on a daily basis. In Islam, they got the five, which that's called you're taking your shahada, Ramadan, which is El Saum, fasting, deals with charity, you know what I'm saying? Deals with El Hajj, making your pilgrimage or your trip, you know what I'm saying? And so they have five within Islam. They call it the five pillars of faith. You know what I'm saying? So you want to go beyond just limiting yourself to just the physical plane. You want to be able to communicate with your ancestors, all right, because they live within you. That's your DNA. And you have an intimate connection because you actually are a concentration of your seven generations on your mother's side and seven generations on your father's side. Hence the 14 pieces of Asar, which that was cut up by a set. That's what it's talking about, your genealogy. It's what the Bible was based on, was the genealogies. It's talking about aspects of oneself. You know what I'm saying? We get caught up to anthropomorphizing these characters into physical form, thinking that, now you can just call upon these particular aspects. All these aspects are now, based on all the thoughts and the people have put out there into belief around them, are thought forms. It's a thought form. You know what I'm saying? So, yes, now you can use a thought form. You can use these thought forms. And they can't work for you because you have put life, you have breathed life into them through your thoughts. Understand this. Thoughts travel 24 billion miles per second. Light travels 186,000 miles per second. Sound travels 1,029 feet per second. All right? So this is what this is talking about. So thought travels faster than light. All right? So these thought forms or what becomes your angels or your angelical beings or your celestial beings, and you manifest them, you know what I'm saying, through thought. This is why people who claim to have miracles, such as a woman who might have rolled over into a ditch and her child was in the car, and she's out of the car screaming and yelling for somebody to help. A stranger comes, tear the door off the car, and get the child out, get the child to her, and she turns around and he disappears. You know, this is what we're talking about. You know, so this is the science. All right, let me see. We got any more callers here, questions? I think we got another question. We got 313, area code 313. You're on the line.
Peace, Brother Lim. I love the show.
All right. Appreciate that.
I have a question. Well, actually, I need some clarification. It's back on to the Masonic side of it. The guy that called in asking about the Baphomet deal. Well,
right.
I had a question pertaining to the same thing. I'm looking to find out about getting your status back where it's supposed to be, taking control of your straw man, in lack of a better word, or saying it in a better way. Okay, my situation, I think I know that, you know, you can come in through the Moore Science Temple to correct it, or you can go through the Moorish Confederations, Washita, da-da-da-da-da-da. But about a month ago, I was sitting listening to a DVD by C. Freeman L., and he just more or less blurted it out. What if you just want to take control of your straw man, you go through the Masonic lodges, or more or less the Masonic societies, the Masons and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden it made sense because our history is there. And all of a sudden it came to me about how these guys were flashing all the symbols on TV, and you know, we were always taught to run the other way from all that stuff. These guys are so loud and this, that, and other. No, they letting you know. I'm thinking they letting you know that this is where you're supposed to be to do this, and then you start looking at how they flash symbols in the courtroom to get out of the troubles they're in, and all this kind of stuff. I was saying, wait a minute. So there's a third way in. So what I wanted to find out from you, because I never heard anybody say it but Steve Freeman L., and I've been waiting for somebody to actually say it. Could you elaborate on it?
Yeah, real simple. Masonry is ours. It comes from the ancient word of Freemason, which is the ancient Egyptian or Kemetic or Temerian name for one who is enlightened or one who becomes anointed with the crocodile fat of Sabak, which is Heru. And we become Freemason through that anointing. The word mess means a child of, all right, and actually become a child of Ra. That's what it means, a child of the light. All right, this is why become the light bringers or the light bearers, all right, which is another name for Lucifer. So, which is nothing more than the angel Uriel. Uriel is Lucifer, and within the Yoruba tradition is Ishu Elegba.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and Ishu Elegba symbolizes the open of the way.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I mean, what we are talking about is our ancient mysteries of Africa. You know what I'm saying? And we are being turned off by, you know, by Kabbalah individuals, Kabbalistic individuals who are purposely perverting the Jews are perverting the teachings. You know, because the information actually comes from, if you read A.E. Wake's book called the Holy Kabbalah, he states in the first 25 pages that the Kabbalah comes from the teachings of the Moors from out of Spain,
mm-hmm.
and that the libraries were raided, and that this is how the Kabbalah teachings come together. So the Jews are studying our magic, our information, which that becomes the Rosicrucian information, which becomes Masonry. And what they're doing is perverting the teachings, as they always do, but it's still ours, and so we can take it back. And that's the point of joining the ancient free Moorish rite.
So that is the route into.
That's what I would join. I would not join Prince Hall Masonry, because I'm not riding no goats, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not riding the hump.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we want to join a masonry in which that is conducive to our Moorish heritage and our Moorish teachings. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Okay. All right, I appreciate your help.
All right. All right, we're getting ready to get up off of here, so we'll be getting ready to hit you with this last tune. We'll be out. And hopefully you all enjoy this show. And come back and visit us once again next Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's the Dr. Aileen Bay Show, as well as also for those who want to contact us, we have our classes going on. Get ready to start back up our alternative healing classes, in which we teach Qigong, Tai Chi, Reiki, Branding Healing, methods of breathing, everything, out-of-body experiences such as astral travel, soul travel, microcosmic orbit rotations, macrocosmic orbit rotations, and everything else that we can possibly think of in which that would enhance and renew, awaken your soul, as we would say. So for those who's interested in the classes, hit me up at healingwingsonline@yahoo.com. That's healing, H-E-A-L-I-N-G, healing, wings, W-I-N-G-S, online, O-N-L-I-N-E, @yahoo.com. That's healingwingsonline@yahoo.com. All right, healingwingsonline@yahoo.com. Go and check us out. Check out our website. It's www.cultural, C-U-L-T-U-R-A-L, cultural-freedom.com. All right, we also got TV shows in which that we do, in which that is now in St. Louis, Missouri on Channel 46, check us out there for those who can tap in. We're teaching a lot of information on there visually. So we're doing our thing. We're getting it out to you worldwide media, you know what I'm saying? We're using their media system and we're using ours, you know, which is the internet. So we're getting it out there. All right? So we ain't fronting. We're getting it out. So your support. Peace.
Yo, are you a pimp? A hustler?
No, I'm not.
Are you a man? And can you stand alone like a man has to sometimes?
Yes, I can.
Are you willing to go out there and save the lives of our children, even if it means losing your own life?
Yes, I am.
I believe you, J-Ru. You ready?
Nothing to...
Now I don't be fooling around. I tell the truth. Nothing's secret. Secret.
Devil search for believers to immortality. I alter my physical chemistry. Bop through the valley of the shadow of death. I exist even when no things are left. Vibrations transcend space and time. Pure at heart because I deal with the mind. That's why I compose these verses. Lord of all worlds, my thoughts are now universes. Written on these pages is the ageless wisdom of the sages. Ignorance is contagious. So I hope you keep your focus. There's no hocus pocus. In the end, it's just us. Devil got brother killing brother. It's insane. Going out like Abel and Cain. Widen up and use your brain. There'll be no limit to the things that you can gain. In positivity, balance it with negativity. Until then, ain't the devil happy. Like John Gotti, he came from the caves to destroy everybody. And we like fools destroy our own bodies. Too many niggas chilling, bad boys boom boom. This leaves no room for the flowers to bloom. Seeds blow in the wind, another drug killing. What are we accomplishing? Nothing. What's the matter? Why every time I look around another brain gets splattered? Some pockets get fatter, but it don't matter. The devil's the only one who really is fatter. Lead ruptures flesh, spleens are shattered, dreams are shattered. Another queen without a king. What will our children become without proper guidance? Probably nothing. So ain't the devil happy? Sit back and murder for. Ain't the devil happy?